Rosie TV.
Well, I want to start this week thanking everyone for their concern about me over down here on the Floridian Peninsula. But Hurricane Helene, we've been so fortunate over the past decades, really, that so few hurricanes really hit directly on the east coast of Florida. It's surprising, really. I think the last really devastating hurricane here was in 1937, although Hurricane Irma in 2019 shut down the electricity around here for 2 weeks. The weird thing about Irma, if you remember, I was making broadcasts during that time, is that the laundry room where I was broadcasting from at the time and the house I lived in just a few yards away here, our electricity was out for 10 hours, which was incredible. And the people across the street, their power was out for 2 weeks. So, you know, I could just say God was good. But that doesn't mean there's no empathy for those folks who are really affected. In that case, the people across the street, no power for 2 weeks. But Hurricane Helene has been devastating. And I know we have subscribers in North Carolina and Tennessee. I've seen photos and videos from that flooding, and my heart goes out to our brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering from that. It's like life's hard enough, and then you get this deluge. Well, that was another storm that missed us, went over to the west coast and then up into the Florida panhandle. And the weird thing was, it stayed a category one. Usually when these hurricanes hit land, they're demoted from a hurricane to a tropical storm, but this thing kept its hurricane rage as it went up north through these states. So our prayers go out, my prayers, and God made me empathetic. As I told you, I can't be happy knowing that other members of the body of Christ are not happy. So I definitely feel your pain. I guess hurricane season's not over. Somebody's telling me there's one brewing out there in the Atlantic now, but you know, it's like I was telling you on that video I made when I was talking about being in my tent with that little sheen of nylon protecting me from the storm just right outside the tent. You have a feeling that God is protecting you. And even though we're touched by these disasters, we know that we have the sheen of Christ protecting us. And so I thank God for that constantly. One of my greatest possessions is my God consciousness, and it's the same with you. But boy, these storms and earthquakes around the world, these are nothing compared to what's going to happen during the tribulation. That's something no human being can prepare for. If only there were an ark, but there is an ark. Today, the ark is not made out of wood. The ark of safety is a message, and it's Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel is our ark out of the coming indignation. And if anyone within the sound of my voice has not yet grasped onto what Jesus Christ accomplished at the cross, then I pray that you come to a realization and a revelation of the truth that Jesus Christ died for our sakes and for our sins, that he actually went into the death state. He did not exist. I'm going to talk on this non-existence of death tomorrow, and we'll be done with this whole second death lake of fire topic for now by Wednesday. I'm pretty sure of that. I want to move on. I'm sure you do too. But the only way out of the tribulation is being in the body of Christ. And it's understanding the death of Christ. Christ entered the death state for our sins. And it was sufficient. Nothing needs to be added to it. It's Christ's work and Christ alone that saves us not only from death, but from the coming indignation. Because we are going to be snatched away out of this eon. Extricated, Paul says, out of the coming indignation. Extricated. It's a great word, very graphic word. And the only way that can happen is if you are a member of the body of Christ. The only way you can be a member of the body of Christ is if God designated you beforehand for it. But if you have been designated beforehand, you will hear this message and you will respond to it. The Spirit of God will cause you to understand that what this man is broadcasting from the Scriptures is true. There's nothing I can do to add to it. There's nothing I can do as the Christian religion that Jesus Christ's work on the cross didn't finish the job. It started it, but it did not finish it. You have to finish it by believing in Jesus. That is a lie. You saw the interview I did last month with that tract passer in his little cart with a Jesus saves on the back, which is a complete lie. I saw this guy again yesterday. He was going down the sidewalk with Jesus saves. And I had talked to him. If you didn't see that interview, go back and watch it. I confronted him and I said, "Do you really believe Jesus saves?" And no, he does not save. The man admitted to me, he was a Christian guy, obviously, and he admitted to me that Jesus Christ didn't take away any sin on the cross. It's up to you to put away your sin. And so this is a devastating message. It is a lie. And I'm watching this guy in his sick little cart going down the sidewalk. And a woman was walking toward him, and I'm praying to God, please don't take his tract. Don't take his tract. Don't take his tract. But as I saw her pass him, he gave her tract, and she took it, and they stopped, and there was a conversation. And I looked over and said, "It's a lie." I'm not very polite when it comes to that. Sometimes I kept running. I did enough, but it's a lie. I probably didn't say it loud enough on purpose, but it's a lie. That man's confession is a lie that Jesus saves. How can Jesus save if it's up to you to finish the job? That sign should have said Jesus tried. So that man's a liar and his message is a lie. So Christ died for your sin. He took it away. So there's no free will you can exercise. This man believed in human free will. You have to make that decision, and it has to be independent of God. God can't help you. Because if God does help you, how is it free? A free will that is assisted by God is not a free will at all. It's a realization and revelation of the truth. And I pray that for everyone listening to me who has not maybe yet heard this message, is new to the channel. I have 50 new subscribers every month. And I'll put it this way. I don't ordinarily put it this way, but I will put it this way. Do you want to stay out of the tribulation? Do you want to not go through it? Then this is the message for you. I hate saying it that way because I sound kind of like a Christian. But this is not avoiding eternal torment. This is not avoiding eternal death. This is avoiding a time coming upon the earth that has never come upon the earth before. A time of trial and trouble described in detail in the book of Revelation and also by the prophet Daniel. But not only is this the ark, the modern day ark, not only is it that, but it is a message that changes the way you live and changes the way you think. And it gives you a joy deep down inside. It gives you an assurance. I'm not saying it's going to make you happy. I'm saying it gives you a joy deep down inside that you are assured of your salvation because you come to understand that it's nothing of you. There's no contribution on your part. Our belief, then what is belief? Our belief is our agreement with something that was already accomplished. We believe that Christ took care of everything. So you can see in that situation, it's not the belief that kicks in the salvation. That's what the guy on the scooter was teaching. Salvation doesn't apply unless you believe. Here's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. The salvation comes first. The salvation is a done deal. And your belief is an agreement concerning what Christ did. "Martin, when were you saved?" people ask me. And I know what they want to hear. They want to hear some date. They want to hear some day when I had a religious experience, the music was playing, and I started crying. No, it was 2,000 years ago. In fact, the entire human race was saved 2,000 years ago. But not everybody comes to a realization of that truth at once. But God picks out certain people early, and he brings them into saving faith. And I pray that that is you today. It is a message that frees you from self-analysis. Nobody's telling you you have to stop sinning. We're not telling you that. I'm not telling you that. That doesn't belong to this message. You don't have to repent of your past sins. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to say the sinner's prayer. You just have to look at the cross and the Son of God on that cross and know in your heart of hearts and in your mind that that was sufficient and that Jesus Christ died because of our sins. He so trusted his Father that he went to the tomb and did not exist for 3 days. That's right. The Trinity is a false teaching that denies the death of Christ. If Christ is God, how can God die? They all say that Jesus Christ died, but they don't believe it because they think he's God. He is, by his own confession, the Son of God. The times are ready. It has been 2,000 years, nearly, only 7 years short of 2,000 years since the death, the entombment, and the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection, that's very important. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by his Father. Jesus Christ was helpless to wake himself up out of the death state. The book of Acts said that God roused Christ. God woke him up, and he raised himself off that slab. But he did not wake himself up because the dead can do nothing. Can you imagine the terror was facing our Lord to give up his life and to trust that his Father would raise him from the dead? That's the faith that saves us. Jesus Christ's faith saves us. His faith is the engine of salvation. Our faith were the cars attached to the engine. No car on a train has its own power source. The only reason the cars are moving is because of the engine. And Christ is the engine. And the only reason we are moving and growing and coming into a realization of the truth is because our faith attaches to his faith. But even our faith cannot be generated from within because there's no one righteous, no, not one. God has to give faith to accord with the faith of Christ. So if you have faith today, if you hear this message and you say, that's the most amazing thing I've ever heard. It really doesn't depend on me. If you're hearing that message for the first time, then you have just been given faith by God. God invaded your world and gave you faith because by natural means, by any human effort, it is impossible to be saved. And yet here's that guy on the cart telling me, a mortal sinner, that I have to reach out and grab Christ or I'm lost. I said, but I'm helpless. Well, sorry, you got to do it anyway. You're asking a helpless person to save himself. It's like throwing a life ring to an unconscious person floating in the sea. Grab onto the life ring. They're unconscious. They can't. So the rescuer has to dive in, put the life ring around the unconscious person, drag them to the boat, give them mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, pump the water out of their stomachs, and then they wake up. Who saved them? Right. Who saved them? It's an act of God and an act of Christ. And if you believe this today, not only will you be extricated out of the coming indignation, but you will have a peace concerning your failures, your sins. You will understand that God has orchestrated every single event in your life, good and bad, to bring you to this point. He's orchestrated everything, the good and the bad, from your conception, even before that, to bring you to this point. And everything you've gone through up to this point has been necessary. And everything you go through hereafter is necessary. And that brings a great peace. Because absolutely speaking, you can't screw up. You can't make a misstep. You can't get out of it. That's not what the guy on the cart says, or the organization he belongs to, known as Christianity. It's not what he says. You're always on probation. You're always looking over your shoulder for God to pull the rug out from under you. You're always one mistake, one sin away, one dirty thought away from losing your salvation and going to hell for eternity. These people have no idea what they're talking about. They are strangers to the love of God. They're strangers to the sovereignty of God, the control of God on his creation. He's in control of everything, every tiny detail. Boy, that's comforting, let me tell you. But we don't know what God's going to do next. We're ignorant of the next moment, and so we live. So we make our decisions, and we do what we think is best, and sometimes we screw up. We live in the relative, but we believe in the absolute. We live as though everything depends on us. You have to live that way. If I don't stop at that stop sign, I'm going to die. You have to think that way. But God is the one who is absolutely controlling your every move and your every thought. Because he's the potter, we're the clay. Romans chapter 9. Speaking of Romans chapter 9, if you have not seen yesterday's video from 25 years ago, the show called Grace Cafe, five other people and myself got on the radio in Cleveland, mainstream Christian radio station, and we practically blew up the station. We would have done them a bigger favor if we had blown it up, but no, we spoke the truth. And yesterday's video, I think my friend Rodney Paris called it, Your Free Will Is Not Free. Somebody wrote me just the other day saying, I don't believe that God kills people. I was talking about death, and the topic came up, like, how do people die? Why do people die? Well, Jesus holds the keys of death and Hades. And God says in Deuteronomy 32:39, I kill and I make alive. This person said, no, God doesn't kill. Oh, but he does. But he makes alive. No one decides the hour of their death, God and Christ alone. But, ladies and gentlemen, there is a generation of the body of Christ who will not die. Our apostle says we shall not all be put to repose, repose being a figure of speech for death. Going to talk about that in the middle of the week. We shall not all be put to repose, but we shall all be changed. So would you also like to cheat death? Well, that's going to happen for a small group of people who are alive at the coming of Christ. And I believe, and many others also agree, that this is the time of the end. We are 6,000 years from Adam and 2,000 years from Christ. And it has to happen sometime. But Martin, everybody says they're the last generation. Yeah, but one of those generations is going to be right. So I'm going to put a link down here to yesterday's show. Like I said, six of us went on the radio in Cleveland, and we taught on the absence of human free will. We taught on the lie of human free will. And the person who wrote me says, well, I don't believe God does this. I believe that we do this. I exhort you, please watch the video from yesterday. It's called Your Free Will Is Not Free. Grace Cafe. So important. This is the founding stone. This is really the foundation of an understanding of God. Unless you understand that God is actually worthy of the name. His name means subjector in the Hebrew, in the Greek, placer. He places everything where it's supposed to be. Nothing happens apart from him. This is elemental. This is not complicated teaching, but free will makes it complicated. Free will clashes up against the sovereignty of God. And in that video, you will hear me, 25 years ago, you will hear me talking about how Christians want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to say God is sovereign. because it sounds so spiritual. God is sovereign. God's in control. I gave my life to God, and now he's my captain. All this talk, but they don't believe any of it. They don't believe any of it. They're a pack of hypocrites because they, at the same time, they believe that they have a free will. The devastating word in the phrase free will is not the word will, it's the word free. Do you realize what that means? If you're free, then you are free of any influence. You're actually independent, an independent entity. You're not influenced from without. Only if you are not influenced from without can you be said to be free. It means God is not influencing you. Satan is not influencing you. What you had for breakfast is not influencing you. The circumstances of your life, what time you got up, the fact that you're immortal, the fact that you're sick, the fact that you don't have a lung or a kidney, whatever physical ailments you have, again, on top of being mortal, everything affects what you do and how you think. But God's the author of all this. He's the potter, we're the clay. I talked about that on the video yesterday. Oh, people don't like that analogy. Everybody thinks I'm saying they're a bunch of robots. You're saying God says we're a bunch of robots. Is that what you're saying, Martin Zender? I say, no, I'm not saying that at all. Robots, where'd you get that idea? I'm sorry you got that thought from me. We're not robots. Robots move and make clicking noises and they have flashing lights. You're a lump of clay. You're a lump of clay. That's more humiliating than a robot. You think you're a robot? Well, I'm sorry. Didn't mean you to get that impression. You're a lump of clay in the hands of the potter. But I'm not clay, Martin. I'm flesh. But you're missing the analogy there that God, the inspired analogy God gives us in Romans chapter 9. Yes, you're flesh and bones. You're not literally clay. Well, in fact, if you look at the ingredients, if you will, of the human body, we're made of all the elements from the soil. But I'll give you that argument for a moment. You're not clay, you're a human being. But the analogy is that God can control and does control human beings as easily as a potter controls the clay. That's the analogy. Potter, clay, God, humanity. How important is it to understand God's relationship to human beings? Isn't that one of the most important things you can come to understand? And don't you think that God would inform us about that, about a topic so vital to our knowledge of ourselves and of God and of the universe? Yes. And he gives it to us. But it's so simple and so devastating to human pride that people can read it on the page and they don't believe it. God is the potter, we are the clay. And on this radio show, you're going to listen to, when you're done with this, you're going to go to the link. You will hear me take a piece of Play-Doh. See, I used to always carry around a little can of Play-Doh in my Bible bag. You never know when you're going to need it, right? You don't want to be caught short when you need Play-Doh and you don't have it. That's devastating. I never let that happen to me. I took the Play-Doh out of the can on the air. I said, okay, I'm going to do a demonstration here on live radio. It was live call-in radio. I'm going to take this piece of clay. I called it clay, not Play-Doh. I'm going to put it on the table. I said to my friend sitting next to me, Charlie, put your microphone right up here to the table. I'm going to take this clay, and I'm going to smack it down on the table. I want everybody out there to hear this. Did you hear that? That was the clay hitting the table. And now, ladies and gentlemen, in Radio Land, Cleveland, Ohio, the six of us are going to walk out of this studio, but not before telling the clay, we're going to leave now, and you can form yourself. While we're gone, you can make yourself into either a vase or an ashtray. Your decision. Well, when we come back, we will see what you have made yourself into. Yeah, dead air. Yeah, dead air. And then I said this. I said, we could come back in 5 minutes or 5 hours or 5 days, or 5 years, or 500 years. And apart from an outside influence, that clay is going to look the same as it did the minute we left, without an outside influence. And that is the inspired analogy of God's relationship to the human race. In fact, the Greek word translated clay in Romans 9 is pelos. And you know what it means literally in the Greek? Mud. Martin, but I don't feel like mud. I don't feel God manipulating me. I don't feel God moving me. Feeling has nothing to do with it. Revelation has everything to do with it. This is what God says. Potter and clay. The clay can't make itself into anything. God says that he makes it in the vessel that suits him. But if you believe in eternal torment, you cannot accept this truth. This is the problem people have. Because, Martin, if you're telling me that the clay has no choice in what it makes itself, then how can God damn the clay to hell for eternity? Exactly right. Great question. But, Martin, you're telling me God's responsible for it, then God would have to be responsible for people going to hell for eternity. If he makes somebody into an ashtray instead of a vase, and that person goes to hell for eternity, it's God's fault. That's good logic there. That's right. But eternal torment is false. God makes vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor to suit his needs. The vessels of dishonor are that temporarily. God needs antagonism in his universe in order to highlight the protagonists of this great story, this great history of the universe. And so he purposely makes vessels of dishonor. But in the end, he changes them, and they're eventually saved too. That's the beauty of it. You can accept these hard truths when you realize the glorious outcome of where God is leading the universe, which is God all in all. Everything ever created, whether things in heaven or things on the earth or things below the earth, will be reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. The same one I was telling you about earlier who died for our sins. He died not only for our sins, but the sins of every human being and the sins of the celestial beings that we don't talk about very often, but that exist. Innumerable spiritual beings above our head right now. They are estranged to God. Not all of them, but a good portion of them. They also need the saving work of the cross, and they shall receive it. And Satan himself, the ultimate enemy, prepared by God for this very purpose, to be an enemy. God created Satan to be an enemy. Even Satan will eventually come to the truth and be saved. Nothing in God's universe will be left untouched by the cross. Now look at me. Here I am. I had a whole list of things I was going to talk about today. I didn't know I was going to do what I just did, but I'm thankful I did. And I pray that those who needed to hear it, hear it. For those who are new to this channel, you are welcome here. You're welcome to disagree with me. You're welcome to leave your comments. I don't delete anybody's comments. This is a free place where you can come. You listen to the show freely. There's no cost for this show. Participate, listen, question, and go to the scriptures to see if these things are so. And if you search diligently, you will find that these things are so.